Good evening. It's definitely a preacher's pleasure to stand in the pulpit after revival, and all God's people are full of his wondrous mercy and joy. I thoroughly enjoyed the songs that we've had tonight. This morning, when Brother Miller called me, he asked me if I had a sermon to give. I didn't have a sermon to give at that time, but I had a thought that's been going through my mind for a long time, and it quickly became a sermon. And I'd very much like to share it with you. My thought consists of two things, and they are facts. There's no doubt about it. When I think about it, when it goes through my mind, they are facts. You cannot dissuade me that they are not. God created the world and all that was in it, and it was good. That's a fact. God does wondrous things. The second is, we all fall short of the glory of God. There's no man on earth that is perfect. Brother Miller pointed out John the Baptist this morning, as good as God said he was not perfect. Moses is my personal favorite. God called him a friend. God called Moses a friend, but Moses was not perfect. King Solomon, King David, Paul, all great people, but they weren't perfect. They fell short of the glory of God. There was a time when they were lost, and they did not have God, and they could not see God's glory. Those are the two facts that were going through my mind, that nobody's perfect, and God created all of this. But it started out, God's creation started out good. Evil crept in and made it not so good. Please turn to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. It's very important that you read along with me. You wouldn't believe if you don't already know this, you wouldn't believe how much reading visualization helps with the learning process. Psalms chapter 23. But we're surrounded by great evil. I kind of did not quite see that for a long, long time because I was kept from the world, just like the parents here would do for their children. They try to shield their children from the world. But as I look now, and for quite some time, I've seen how truly corrupt the world is. It's very disturbing and heartbreaking. People in the world, they don't care about their language. You've heard it, you've been around it. People of the world don't care how dirty their jokes are. They think it's funny. Some people just like being mean and contrary. And all this evil, all this, it isn't a whole bunch of things. It boils down to all these four or five things that I see in this world come together to mean that, to say to me that people just don't care about God anymore. The majority of people don't care about God anymore. And you and I have no doubt that the saved people in this congregation, and I've heard testimonies, and I've seen this happen, workplaces outside the church, and sometimes inside the church, testifying of God's existence, letting your light shine, telling people that you believe in God. I tell people on a regular basis I believe in God. I tell people on a regular basis, I make it a point to tell them I'm a preacher. And still, the foul language is kind of thrown at me. And the dirty jokes are still there. Nobody tries to hide it. Is that new? I don't think so. That's been the way things have been for a long, long time. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalms chapter 23, and I'm going to read all six verses. And this is a very familiar passage of the scripture. Most of us learn it by heart. I'm going to read it. I ask that y'all read along with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I can't help to say amen after I read that. It touches my soul, and that scripture has been on my heart, and I've been hoping to present it in a sermon for quite some time, and it just seems so fitting tonight in the events. The songs, the testimonies, how God walks with me. He is beside me. Amen. He holds my hand. Amen. He shelters me from this great evil. God does that. He is sheltering you from this great evil. But sometimes God knows if you're strong enough to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, to be amongst that evil. Sometimes there's no getting around it in this world because it seems to be everywhere. I'm going to break this passage of scripture down. Just bear with me here. Psalms 1 and 2. God will take care of our physical needs when he makes us lie down and drink water like the good shepherd he is. But we don't just have those physical needs. We have spiritual needs. And it's very apparent that a lot of our spiritual needs have been met. The rejoicing that we heard this evening is proof of that. That's what makes it a joy to stand in the pulpit is to hear the fruits of God's ministry. And then in Psalms 23:5, he prepares a table. He takes the time and prepares a table while taking care of our needs. He prepares a table, and he's not shy about doing it in front of others. He's not shy about setting the table with all the sustenance and all the things that we need in our lives. He's not shy about letting other people see that he's taking care of Michael Carter. He's taking care of Brother Jerry Miller. He's not afraid to do that. Amen. Are we afraid? Are we afraid to let other people see that? And it goes on to talk about, my cup runneth over. Well, my cup ran over. I had tears of joy tonight. But how big is my cup? How big is your cup? That's a very important question. Even though we're not perfect, even though I don't think I compare to any of the people I mentioned earlier this evening, I don't compare to John the Baptist, I don't compare to Paul, don't compare to the psalm writer David, I don't compare to David's father. But it doesn't mean my cup can't be as big as theirs. It doesn't mean your cup can't be as big as theirs. It's a state of mind. God's going to help you grow, help your capacity to love, to wrap your arms around that person that isn't quite so appealing with their language, isn't quite so appealing with their speech. They're gonna somehow see through us and our willingness to follow God, and they're gonna stop and think, wait a second, who is this God? And then that thought that they just had very well might become, wait a second, I care about God. They once didn't care anything about God. It seemed like they'd forgotten God, but because of our actions, because of our willingness to serve, because our willingness to let God's light shine through us, a lost person is now seeking God. Is that what we're going to do? And I'm not just talking about the people that are sitting in our congregation that are lost. I definitely will be praying for you, and I hope to see you saved. I don't see why it couldn't be tonight. God wants to save you. He wants to save the people that are have been running through my mind, making me so heartbroken, that have shown me that this world isn't quite so nice as it was when I was 8 years old. How big is your cup? Very important question. Are you going to let it grow in size? Are you satisfied with just letting your cup runneth over once in church? Well, what if you could, your cup size can grow and God can pour more into that cup for the next time and the next time and the next time. And then it grows larger and larger, and we can rejoice better and sing God's praises better and witness in a better way. And then the world might just stop being so evil. I want it to, this would be a sermon of encouragement for y'all. I was taught that the sandals that David wore had spikes on the bottom, and they weren't like today's soccer cleats that were just would stick in the ground like this, but the cleats that were on the warrior's sandals of biblical times, they were prongs like this, and that very symbolic to me. The reason why the cleats on their sandals were pronged was because those soldiers were to move forward, not backwards. And with God's help, we can move forward in our spiritual lives too. We can do bigger and better things. We don't have to be satisfied with just one time. If God gives us another time, it can be a greater experience. You can love God more. You can grow in your spirituality. Will you? Is the question. How big is your cup? I don't want to take up much more of your time, and I don't want to stray from that thought. I'm just leaving here thinking that with God's help, if it is God's will for my life, I can do bigger and better things than where I am today. Salvation is a wonderful thing, and it doesn't get any better than that. But there are no experiences that come close. But let me encourage you to never stop at that point in your life. God wants us to continue moving forward. God wants us to continue moving forward. He'll be with you and walk with you wherever you go, even the most evil of places. I recommend you try to avoid them if you can. Perhaps God puts you in those situations. He will deliver you. I'm confident if we keep a mind and a soul that gets heartbroken when we see the world doing something contrary to God's commandments, I'm confident that we can take that not as just a downer, as a valley, as this dark, dark place, but we can take that as not just a bad experience, but the experience that waits just on the other side of that valley, and to expect that when God's going to take us out of it, because He will. He just said He will. I'm sure David knew that from the many, many battles he was in, that God delivered him. How big is your cup? Leave this place. Let God fill up your cup again. Smile, rejoice. I hope you're not afraid to let other people see how good God is and how good God takes care of you. Because somebody else is bound to see that. And that's what gets people saved. That's what leads them to the point where they want to know more about God. And when they want their spiritual lives to grow as well. Be satisfied with your salvation, but not your situation. If we ask, and it is God's will, He will allow you to grow into the person that He wants you to be. That's my sermon. It was short, to the point, nothing theological about it. That was what was on my heart for a very long time. And that's how I intend on making a difference in my life, is to allow my cup to be bigger. So the next time God says, well, I'm going to fill up Michael Carter's cup, it's going to be a little bit bigger than the last time. Y'all pray for me that I can make a difference in this world. I'll pray for you that when you go out of these doors to your appointed places, that God uses you to make a difference in people's lives. God bless you. I love you. I'll be praying for you. Y'all pray for me.